Dear friends, God's mercy, peace, and love through Jesus Christ our Lord be a blessing to you this day. Looking forward to the week ahead, there can be actually a lot of disappointment. Christmas can bring disappointment. Maybe you've experienced that in opening gifts. There's a saying out there that there are the five stages of disappointment in opening up a Christmas gift. Have you gone through the stages? First stage is anticipation. Man, it's a good thing someone got me a gift. I'm pretty excited about what's inside. Man, they must have really thought about what's inside. And you rip off the packaging on the outside, but then you look at the box. The box has labels of something that you really don't really want. Stage two, irrational hope. You see the box there. They're not going to get, there must be a trick. The labels on the box, there's got to be something really exciting inside. So you reach your hand in, and then out pops a paperweight. You already have three paperweights. And you got two paperweights the previous Christmas. Stage three, greed. Certainly, that's not the only thing that they gave you in that box. So you reach your hand in the box to see if there's like a cash or a check or something more exciting than a paperweight. But then you realize, yeah, all the gift was a paperweight. Stage four, coerced thank you. Ever done that? Wow, what an interesting gift you've gotten me. Boy, it matches the three other paperweights at my desk. Thank you. Stage five. Have you ever reached stage five? Pondering. That's when a lot of questions pop up into your mind. What shelf in the garage can I put it on? Or I wonder if I can get the $5 rebate at the store that the person bought it for me. Or who can I re-gift this gift to next Christmas? Have you gone through the stages of disappointing gifts before? Have you gone through that? Anybody? Does that resonate with anyone? I have. Maybe you will this next week. I hope not, but disappointment can come on Christmas. I'm sorry to bring it up here. This is supposed to be a joyful day. Well, I bring it up because I think we discover a disappointed person in John the Baptist. In Luke chapter 7, we haven't talked about John the Baptist much here at church this Advent, but it's important to know who John the Baptist was. John the Baptist was the mentor of Jesus Christ. John the Baptist was the one who baptized Jesus and said that he couldn't untie his sandals. That's how much John the Baptist pointed to Jesus. But in Luke chapter 7, John's in prison. Now, it doesn't say it here in this text. I'm going to give some background here, what's going on here. John is in a place called Machaerus. In right around the Dead Sea, there were seven citadels that overlooked the Dead Sea, and it was an easy way to make sure, if the enemy was coming, Herod could make plans by having these citadels fortified. Machaerus was one of those citadels, the highest one, and on the very tip of this citadel was where King Herod the Great lived. Now, down in the city was where the servants and slaves and guards lived. And down even deeper was where the prison was. That's where John the Baptist is in Luke chapter 7. Now, archaeology, we're pretty sure about this. These bulletins oftentimes, the front covers get it wrong. We believe the prison was actually underground. And John had been underground for over a year in Luke chapter 7 at Machaerus. John the Baptist, the wild guy who went all over the place, traveled throughout the wilderness, he couldn't do that. Not for a year. He was trapped underground. John the Baptist, whose life purpose, he said, was to proclaim Jesus, couldn't do that in prison. We believe John was in prison for about a year to a year and a half in Machaerus. And that's when doubts and disappointments start to pop into his mind. Doubts, John the Baptist. Here in the beginning of our text, he sends out two of his disciples to say this, "Are you the one, Or should we look for another? John the Baptist originally was the guy who proclaimed Jesus. A year and a half later in prison, he's doubting. Is Jesus really who he said he was? Disappointment. You know, how about a more serious word? Depression. John the Baptist. It's there. He's in prison. This story doesn't end in disappointment, though. It ends on the other spectrum. It ends with joy. Complete joy. How's that possible? John hears the message that Jesus is the Messiah. Joy is something that seeks us. I want to repeat that. Joy is something that seeks us out. In that regard, it's very different than happiness. Happiness is something that we seek out and we try to find. Do you have a happy place that you go to? Where you go and it's automatically you're happy? We do in our family. It's called Papa's Pizza. Take the girls, throw them in the ball crawl. Doesn't matter, there's a lot of germs and probably get sick in a couple days. Then take them up the stairs, up to the slide, and they come on down. Doesn't matter that you're going to get electrocuted with their hair when they come out of the slide. Go to the vending machine and try and win a prize. We never win, even though we always try. And then, of course, there's the pizza. See, you seek out happy places. That's the way happiness works. You seek happiness. Joy doesn't work that way. Joy seeks you out. And it did for John the Baptist. How amazing it must have been for John the Baptist to receive joy, trapped in prison, depressed, upset, disappointed perhaps in who Jesus was and what he was doing. Joy seeks John the Baptist and finds him. Awesome. Here's a takeaway. If you are in a tough spot this morning, joy can seek you out and find you. Guaranteed. Joy does something else. It lasts. In that regard, it's very different than happiness, isn't it? Happiness is that jolt of excitement, like you want to jump, you're excited. Beaver fans, it's kind of like when you go to the Beaver game and they're supposed to lose, and they win the game. You got a little skip in your step as you go back to your car. You dream about national championship that year. You talk to your friends about how awesome they're doing, that sort of thing. But then the next game comes and they lose to an opponent that they should have beaten. And as high as you were, see, the happiness is gone. It doesn't last. Joy is different. Joy lasts. It's like winning the national championship, and then the offseason, the joy is just bursting out of you, and you want to talk about the team and what they did that year. Joy lasted for John the Baptist. We're not sure about the timing here, but probably, I'm going to say, 6 months after hearing about the report from his disciples, do you know what happened to John the Baptist? John the Baptist was beheaded, killed. But he had joy because he had Jesus and he knew that Jesus was the Messiah. So what is it going to be this year? Is it going to be joy in what you open up this year, or is it going to be disappointment? Which one? It could be that you could open up a whole bunch of gifts in the week ahead, whole bunch, but you're disappointed. I grew up in a family in which gift giving on Christmas Eve was a big deal. Boy, is it a big deal. I have an older sister. Thank you, Alicia, for putting up with her. I hope this isn't recorded. She would write her Christmas list on what we should get her in September. So when Christmas Eve came in the Lucky household, we'd go to the 11 o'clock service and worship. We'd come home, and we'd open up gifts, and it'd be well into the night, 3 a.m., tons of gifts, wrapping paper everywhere, lots of gifts, you see. But one particular year, we missed a gift. Someone had wrapped it, and we lost it, and it pretty much ruined the entire night. We didn't know where it was. It didn't matter that we opened up a whole bunch of presents right in front of us. It wasn't until the next Christmas that we found it was stuffed behind the labels and the ribbons and that sort of thing. But the takeaway was this: whole bunch of gifts, disappointment. Or you could have joy. You could open up just one present this Christmas. One. And it could give you unending joy. That's John the Baptist. John the Baptist never opened a Christmas gift. I can guarantee you that. John the Baptist heard that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. Jesus never promised John the Baptist that he would come and get him out of prison and make things better for him. Jesus never promised John that he would have fortune later in life. John lived a dismal life until the very end when he was beheaded. But you see, he got the Christmas gift message. Jesus is the Messiah. And that's the gift we give out here at this church. Jesus is the Messiah in the songs that we sing and the things that we share with one another. And if that's the only gift you open up this year or for the rest of your life, you have joy. And it will last forever. Are you in prison right now? Maybe. You can be living outside of prison and still be in prison. Are you disappointed with something? Or have you done everything right? John the Baptist didn't do anything wrong. Have you done everything right and things have gone in a bad way and you're imprisoned and things have gone difficult? Joy is for you this Christmas. What a strange Sunday. It's Gaudete Sunday, the day that we light the candle for peace. And did you notice both readings? I put them out there for a reason. Both readings are by people dealing with prison. Paul, when he writes Philippians, he's in prison. And the letter bubbles with joy. John the Baptist, he's in prison. He bubbles with joy. This is the gift you're getting this week. Enjoy it. It will last forever. Amen.